Your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. We will read there, starting there, and read through verse 16 this morning for our text. So we've continued to work our way through the book of 1 Timothy. We have been talking of late about about the truth as opposed to the false doctrines that are so commonly taught today. They were taught in Paul's time as well and throughout time. But how we need to, first of all, preach the truth, the beginning portions of this chapter, and then how we need to live the truth through our actions, what we do, what we say. And this morning we're going to be talking about growing in the truth. Growing in the truth. And these verses we're about to read, I think, give us some insight into some things that we must do if we are indeed to grow in the truth of God's Word. And that ought to be our aim. That ought to be our goal. I fear so many today are growing more in the truth according to the world than they are in the truth according to the Word of God. And that is should be a grave concern to all who are true and faithful believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's read our text now. First Timothy, chapter 4, starting at verse 13. Says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we again are just blessed, O Lord, and so thankful to be able to come together here this morning. I pray that all of our attempts to worship you here this morning have been found pleasing in your sight. And Lord, as we look now carefully at this passage of Scripture and other verses that we shall read, may your Holy Spirit guide us in our understanding of these things. And may we be strengthened and encouraged by what we read here. May we be convicted if need be. May we, Lord, be determined to leave this place and be more faithful to you in our lives. Above all, help us learn here this morning more about how we might grow in the truth of your word. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so there are four things that I want us to see here that we should do if we are to grow in the Word, grow in the Word of God. Things we must do. First of all, we must emphasize the Word. Look there at verse 13. It says, "Till I come," and Paul was just simply saying, until he could come to Ephesus again and give further instruction and so forth. He says, "Till I come, do these things. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." And when he says give attendance to, he means to devote yourself to these things, to pay attention to these things, because they are all three very important. He begins by saying give attendance to reading, the reading of God's Word. Now, some take this to mean personal reading of the Word and personal study. I personally think that it is referring to the reading of the Word of God in their worship services. I think that was a practice that was probably carried over from the Jewish tradition, before Christ came. They would meet in their synagogues and someone would read from the Scriptures. Jesus himself did that in Nazareth. We read of an occasion of that in the Gospels. We know that Paul, when he would go into a new city, a new town, he would first go, if there was a Jewish synagogue, he would go there first and spend a few Sabbaths there, and he would read from the Scriptures, and he would take that then to show Christ and to prove Christ. So we know those are things that were done, and I think that's what he's speaking of here, that they should devote themselves to or give their attention to reading the Word out loud in the congregation. Now, I want to draw your attention for a moment to three things that we do. The first three things we do when we come together to worship the Lord every Lord's Day in this morning service. The first thing we do is sing a song. That's how we open up our service. Now, we ought to be preparing ourselves to worship before that, but singing a song to begin with helps us really to open up our hearts in worship to God. And I think that's very important. The second thing we do is have a prayer where we seek God's blessing truly upon the service before we go any further. And so we're there seeking the face of God. So we've begun to worship in the song. We're now specifically, directly seeking God's face through prayer. And then what is the third thing we do? Someone, usually Brother W.T., this morning is Brother Sean, will read a passage of Scripture. Why do we do that? Now, we've done this ever since I've been here. I don't know how long that order of things has been going on here in this congregation. But have you ever thought about why? I'm sure thought was given to why when it began and whenever it was initiated. But why? We probably just kind of have fallen into that pattern, and we maybe don't give much thought to it. But we should. We should. We should think when we're singing that opening song about getting ready, we need to be opening up our hearts to worship God. We ought to be thinking in that prayer about how we are seeking God's face, His blessing, His favor upon us as we have met together as a congregation in the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to give thought to that. We ought to give thought to the fact that we begin then with that third thing of reading from the Word of God. Because in that, we are saying we are giving priority to your Word in this service. That's vital. That's important. If we do these things properly as we should, we will avoid some of the traps that some have fallen into where the worship service is more of an entertainment service, or it's more of a what am I going to get out of it kind of thing, than it is truly a gathering of God's people to worship the Lord God. But reading the Word of God is important to that. And so that's one of the things that I noted when I first came here a little over 4 years ago. And began to visit here and then began to pastor. That was one of the many things that I really took note of and liked. It's something I've done previously in the church where we came to you from. We read the Word of God as well, and I think it's very, very important. So we need to give attention to that, and we don't need to lose sight of why we do these things. But we give priority to God's Word. We emphasize the Word. Also, the second thing he says to emphasize or give attendance to is exhortation. That word means encouragement. We ought to be encouraging one another in the Word of God. Not encouraging one another from a standpoint of, I'm going to try to say something that'll lift your spirit. Now, we ought to build this from the Word of God. Everything we do as a congregation ought to be centered upon Christ, and it ought to be based upon what His Word says to us. We should follow its instructions carefully. And that includes when we encourage one another. We should do so in the Scriptures. not from man's way of thinking or in a man's wisdom kind of way, but from the wisdom of the Scriptures. We don't come here for a pep rally, okay? But we can certainly be encouraged from the Word of God. And we should be. When we leave this service, we ought to feel lifted up, strengthened, because we have spent time in God's Word together, rightly dividing the Word of God together. And then we ought to pay attention to doctrine. Doctrine is simply teaching. Teaching the truths of the Word of God to each other. And we do that in many ways, through Sunday school classes, through Bible study on Wednesday night, through the preaching of the Word of God in this portion of the service. It can even be done through song, especially those songs that draw their wording from the Word of God. Okay, that's a very good way to learn the Word of God and the doctrines of God's Word. So we ought to give attention to doctrine as well. I think in too many cases today, people are giving attention to anything but these three things. And consequently, we see many congregations, many churches going astray. There are a couple of verses now that I want to read from Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." To meditate, and we're going to talk about this more in a moment, but that means to really consider and think about what God's Word says. It says in verse 3, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." There's something instilled within every believer. When we are given spiritual life, there's something instilled within us that causes us to hunger for the Word of God. And when we feast upon the Word of God, when we learn from the Word of God, when our steps are directed by the Word of God, then we will find God's blessing as well. And so we ought to be hungry for the Word of God. Paul will tell Timothy in his second letter to Timothy, chapter 2, verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We need to study, give attention to God's Word, and be trained up in God's Word. How can we face the onslaught of evil in our time? How can we face up to Satan if we are not trained up in God's Word? God has given us His Word for that purpose, many other purposes, but we ought to train ourselves up in His Word. So to grow in the Word, you have to emphasize the Word. The second thing you need to do is use what we are given. We need to use what we are given. In verse 14 it says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." Now in this verse, Paul, and in a lot of these verses, Paul is speaking specifically to Timothy. And he's speaking to Timothy as a preacher, as a pastor, as a minister of the Word of God. Okay, but I think many of these principles that he is giving to Timothy, we can take too. And the everyday believer can take these things and use them and learn from them and grow from them. Now, again, he's speaking specifically here to Timothy about the gifts. The gift, he says, singular, that is in him, that was given to him. And I want to clarify a few things here about what he says. When he says, which was given thee by prophecy, okay? What he's meaning is, it was made known to you by prophecy. In those days, the Spirit of God moved upon the apostles. The Spirit of God moved upon others as well, and they spoke prophetically. What they spoke, okay, in this manner, was not the same thing as the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, which he would give to a certain few individuals to be written down. But it was given by the Holy Spirit. So it doesn't carry that same power and weight, but it was something to help the congregation or help a believer, a group of believers, okay? And so there was some prophecy in those days in the times of the apostles. Now, I believe that working of God is ceased. I believe once his revealed word of God was given to us, and that coupled with the fact that every believer has within them the Spirit of God, we don't need some of these spiritual gifts that are made so much of, even in our day. With that said, though, I want us to understand, it wasn't the prophecy that gave Timothy the gift. What he's saying, it was revealed by that prophecy. It wasn't the laying on of the hands of the presbytery that instilled that gift within Timothy. That gift was given by God, not by man. The laying hands on of the presbytery simply affirmed that those individuals, those elders, those leaders in the church saw that this gift was in Timothy. It had been made evident to them, and they were affirming that by laying on their hands. So this isn't something that a man can do. I cannot lay my hands upon you and give you spiritual gifts. That's not any man's power to do. God gives those kinds of things to us. Now let me talk about the spiritual gifts that I believe that we should concern ourselves with in our day and time. And these, I think, are overlooked sometimes because of the more dramatic way that spiritual gifts are talked about much of the time in our time. But note this, the most precious spiritual gift we are given is spiritual life. And God gives that to us when he quickens us, okay? That's a precious gift from God. And don't overlook that. Understand, he has given you that gift. And coming with that gift is the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. That's a precious gift to us from God. His Spirit lives within us. Before the day of Pentecost, that wasn't true. The Holy Spirit might come and go in a person and would be around people, but it was only after Jesus was crucified, after he was risen, after he ascended into heaven and sent the Holy Spirit to indwell us, that the Holy Spirit took up residence inside of believers for their whole spiritual life. That's a precious gift to us from God. Jesus prepared the believers to expect this by telling them that the Holy Spirit would be a comfort to them, that he would be a comforter, that he would be a teacher to them, that he would be a leader to them and to us. That's a precious thing. God also gives to us spiritual gifts in the form of faith and repentance. When one has been quickened, they are given the gift of faith from God to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has given them spiritual life. We are given the gift of repentance, that we might turn from our sins and turn to Christ and follow him. Those are precious gifts. And we should see them as such. I believe that God then gifts us with what we may need in order to go about any work or any service that he's called us to do. I believe that he equips preachers, for instance, to be able to preach the Word of God. He equips teachers to teach the Word of God. I think he equips all believers to serve him. But not in some extraordinary way where the emphasis is put on the gift and not the giver. We should look to the giver. And he provides for us every step of the way. And we need to, back to the point I'm trying to make here, we need to use what we are given. That's what he's telling Timothy to do. neglect not the gift that is in thee. Don't neglect it. Don't lay it aside. He would tell Timothy in his second letter to Timothy, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." He's reminding Timothy, stir it up. Maybe Timothy was prone to neglect what God had given him to be able to serve and to pastor this church at Ephesus or any church that he was called to. He's saying, don't neglect that. Another way to define that word neglect is to use the words make light of. Don't make light of what God has put within you. I fear we do that all the time. Anytime we know we are called of God to do something, we know we are being led of the Spirit of God to do something, and we step back and we say, I can't do that. I'm just not able to do that. I think we're making light of what God has prepared within us to be able to do that thing that he's leading us to do. We need to beware of that and be careful. God doesn't give us a task to do without preparing us and giving us the resources with which to do it. We need to trust him for that. And we need to understand that that is of God and it's of his power. Here's what the Apostle Paul said about himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 and 10, he says, "For I'm the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Note this, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Folks, when we labor for the Lord, we labor with his grace within us that enables us to do whatever it is we're doing for God. Amen. We're so quick to pat ourselves on the back. Look at what I did. And boast and brag about our accomplishments. Folks, it's the Lord we should be bragging on and boasting about, because it is his power, it is his gifts, it is all that he does, his work in us, that enables us to do anything at all for the glory of God. But we need to use what we're given. The abilities, the talents, the resources, all the things that God has given us, we need to use those things if we are to grow in the Word of God. You can't grow in the Word of God if you're not putting to use what you're learning from the Word of God. Then the third thing, look at verse 15. He says, "Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." The third thing we need to do if we're going to grow in the Word of God is devote ourselves to service. Not just use, we need to use what he's given us, but we need to devote ourselves to the service of God. We're very good about serving God when it's convenient for us. We're very good about that. As long as it fits my schedule, long as it fits my agenda, as long as it fits what I want, we'll serve God all day long. But when it comes to sacrifice, when it comes to changing what I want to what God wants, when it comes to giving up something to serve God, I don't think we're very good. I think we become quite limited in our service to God. Why is that? I think it's mostly because we lack devotion to God. and to serving Him. He says in this verse, meditate upon these things, these instructions that He's been given to giving to Timothy, these words of wisdom, these insights. He says, meditate upon these things. If you look at the Greek word, the meaning there is to literally to revolve around in one's mind. Roll it around inside your head. Take it. We'll read God's Word. We very seldom meditate on God's Word. We need to not just read it, but we need to take it and let it roll around in our minds for a little while. You'll be surprised at what more God will teach us when we do that. But we need to meditate upon these things. He says, give thyself wholly to them. All that you are should be devoted to your service to God, doing these things that He's instructing Timothy about. And I think that He's instructing all of us believers about. Give ourselves wholly to them. Not half-heartedly. Not a little bit here and there. But wholly to them and to God. He says that thy profiting may appear to all. What does that word profiting mean? It doesn't mean here making money. Okay? What it means is advancement or growth, if you will. And it really comes from a Greek military term that means to pioneer, advance. In other words, these would be soldiers who went ahead of other soldiers to prepare the way for those soldiers coming behind. So if we are to profit, we are to advance. If we are to go ahead of others, we need to be growing in the Word. For growing in the Word, for giving ourselves wholly to these things, then we will be advancing in this way, in such a way that it may appear to all others, our growth will be evident to others. They'll see you grow. One of the most, or let me rephrase, one of the greatest blessings that I get personally as a pastor of people is to be able to see them grow in the Word of God. Not because I can point at that and say, hey, look at what I'm doing, but because I know it is God working in them. And to see that happening in a person is a wonderful thing. And it's encouraging to me, and it is encouraging to those around you. We ought to be growing in the Word of God. I don't care how old we are. I don't care how long we've been serving God. People ought to still be able to see us growing in the Word of God. First of all, because we never should get to that point where we think we've arrived, where we think we know it all. Because we're not going to get there here on this earth. One of the neatest things for me when we have our Bible conference every fall is to sit near the table where Brother Heath and some other preachers are sitting who have been preaching for many years. And I just like to sit there and just listen to their back and forth conversations about the Word of God. It's neat because even though they have been preaching for many, many years in some cases, and what's the old saying? They've forgotten more than we'll ever know. You know, there's a lot of wisdom and knowledge there. But they are so humble because they're seeking out each other. What do you think this means? I think it means this. No, I think it means something else. And they do it in such a wonderful way where they're not getting mad at each other, you know, but they're learning from each other. They're still growing in the Word of God. What an example for the rest of us and how we ought to be growing that way ourselves. We need to be devoting ourselves to serving God. When we do that, then we'll keep growing in the Word of God. Matthew 5:16, very common verse of Scripture, very well known. It says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." People can see your good works. And we ought to be doing good works that others can see. There's something about that that God will really bless. He'll use that to encourage someone who is discouraged. He'll use that to motivate someone who is lacking motivation. If we humbly, simply, sincerely devote ourselves to serving God. Sometimes we get down, we feel like we're distant from God, we are in a slump, we're in need of a revival. Sometimes the best way to come out of that is just to redevote yourself to serving God. Redouble your efforts. There's something about that sometimes that God will use to kind of snap us out of whatever it is we've gotten ourselves into. And then lastly, he says, in verse 16, "Take heed unto thyself." If we're to grow in the Word of God, we need to examine ourselves. He says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." He's saying, Timothy, don't forget your own personal attention to the Word of God. You need to examine yourself against the Word of God often. In fact, I think anytime we hear God's Word, anytime we read God's Word, we ought to be examining God's Word and holding it up against ourselves and what we're doing and how we're living. And making sure that we are doing what God's Word says and not what our flesh wants to do. He's telling Timothy here, do this. Pay attention to the doctrine. Keep in them. Continue in them, he says. "For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." He's not saying save here in the sense of spiritual salvation. We can't save ourselves this way. The only one who saves us in that way is the Lord God. What he's saying is you're going to save yourself from trouble if you'll be attentive to the Word of God and if you'll examine yourself to see where you're at on a regular basis. It will keep, he's saying, Timothy, that'll keep you out of error and leading others into error. And those that do the same thing will be kept out of error. We're told in 1 Corinthians 10:12, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." When you think you're standing on your own, you better look out. You're about to fall. God's going to topple you over because he doesn't want you standing on your own. He wants you standing in him. When we get off on our own, pride sets in, and that leads to sin and error and other dangerous things. So God will knock us over. So we'll learn to stand up in him. Philippians 2:12-16. "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." In other words, make sure of your salvation by checking yourself against the Word of God. You see, a believer is going to be consistently following the Word of God in their lives. I'm not saying always, but that should be the pattern that you see in your life. If you are a believer in Christ, you should see evidence there where you are following God's word. And you'll see evidence, certainly, of where you stumble and you fall and you sin. Okay? But there should be a consistent evidence there of where you are walking in the Lord. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Then down to verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Now, I'm not sure those words have ever been more true than they are today. In our nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We need to give attention to these things. We need to examine ourselves to make sure that we are shining as the lights God has called us to be in this evil and dark and wicked generation in which we live. Yeah. But if we're not examining ourselves, our light's going to end up growing dimmer and more dim. Maybe that's the proper word, but it's going to fade. And it needs to be shining bright as it can in this dark time. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. He's saying, keep sharing the word. We can't share the word properly if we're not growing in the word. And if we're not examining ourselves to see where we're at, we're not going to be growing in the word. And then 2 John's second letter, verse 8, it says, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Look to yourselves, so that you don't lose what you have gained. How many of us feel like it's a 3 steps forward, 2 steps back kind of walk in the Lord? The more we examine ourselves, the more positive steps forward we will take, and the less will be taken back. Because we constantly compare ourselves to God's word. That's our guide. That's what should be leading us. Not the things of men, not the foolishness of men, but the wisdom of the word of God. So we'll close with this thought. If we want to grow in the word, we must remember what is most important to us. Amen. The most important person in your life is Jesus Christ. Amen. If anyone else has that claim in your life and you call yourself a believer in Christ, then you're wrong. The most important person in a believer's life is the Lord Jesus Christ. The most important guide in your life is his word. Not what some man has written or some woman has written somewhere. Not the things of this world. Not what's popular in society. The word of God. That is our guide in life. That's the most important guide we have, and we ought to treasure it as such. And the most important thing in your life is your devotion to Christ. And that is expressed in your service to Christ. What's the most important thing in your life? Now, here's where many of us stumble. Because we have a lot of things going on. And if you look at your time and what you're spending your time on, that'll tell you a lot about what's the most important thing in your life is. That doesn't mean we shut everything down and just withdraw somewhere as, you know, hermits or monks or something somewhere. I think we ought to be involved in things in life and enjoy this life God has given us. But how are we doing that? If we view it as our service to God, then we're on track, I think. Look at your life. Look at the things you're doing. Can you say that you're doing these things as your service to God? And anybody can say that, but would God agree with you? That ought to help us prioritize what we're doing. We all need that, reprioritizing, particularly from time to time. It's important, and we need to do it. We need to get right with God. It starts with the household of God. We need to follow Him. We need our lights to be shining bright. But it's going to really come down to this. Am I growing in the Word of God like I should be? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our kind and most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, O Lord, for this time together and these words that You inspired the Apostle Paul to write to Timothy. Speak to our hearts. May we meditate indeed upon these things as we leave this place, as we go from here. And may our lives be forever changed because of this time in Your Word. By Your power, by Your grace, by Your strength. Or may we grow in the Word of God and shine as the lights that we need to be shining as in this world in which we live. Lord, we just thank You again for this word, for this time. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.